This is an extract from the Nature Podcast. For the full show, visit nature.com/nature/podcast.
This week, Nature is publishing a special on maintaining a healthy, happy and productive lab. A good environment promotes good research, but sometimes things can go wrong. Research misconduct not only degrades the reliability of research findings, but in the most extreme cases, can end a career. Tina Gonzalez is director of the National Centre for Professional and Research Ethics, and she's co-authored a comment piece outlining the pitfalls of misconduct that can plague departments. She's also come up with a mnemonic to help researchers identify the causes. Reporter Jeff Marsh gave her a call.
You've worked with troubled departments as part of your job. Could you share some anecdotes of research misconduct that you see coming up time and time again?
I think what happens is that people with power get cross, they want results, they feel pressured themselves. Where are the data? Where are the data? Why aren't you doing this right? And the person with no power doesn't know how to respond effectively and doesn't know how to account for themselves. So they start to pretty the data up and make it look like what's expected, as opposed to hewing to the actual results that the actual research provided. So I think that that's a place that things really go wrong, when people are so afraid and don't have the tools to interact that they start cutting corners.
Right. So in an effort to help researchers spot the most common pitfalls associated with misconduct, you've created a suitably alarming mnemonic, which is tragedies. Could you break that down for us?
So it starts with temptation, rationalization, ambition, group and authority pressure, entitlement, deception, incrementalism, embarrassment, and stupid systems. Most of them, you'll see, are feelings. Temptation is a feeling. Rationalization is something entirely internal. You know, and it's always possible to rationalize any scummy thing you want to do. Entitlement is a feeling. Embarrassment is a feeling. Stupid systems is something that we all exist within all the time. And if you don't know how to deal with the mixed messages and mixed incentives and sometimes perverse incentives in an environment, you can really easily end up in a career tragedy.
And who do you think that the separate elements of the tragedies mnemonic kind of relate to? Because it sounds almost like it's mainly focused at maybe the newer scientists who are feeling pressure from above, you know, the people at the lower end of the power dynamic. Is that who you're sort of talking to here?
Actually, I think it's pretty universal. I mean, one of the things that I did for several decades of my career was I was the research integrity officer, and I did lead internal investigations for my university, and that included things that weren't about research. Sometimes they were human subjects, sometimes they were financial, sometimes they were policy violations. And I spent a lot of time investigating very highly educated, very smart people who had ended up in a situation where they were facing some sort of reputational disaster, shambles. I never met anyone who said, yeah, you know, that was the day I woke up and decided to, you know, put my career at risk, potentially go to jail, embarrass my family, lose my job. Organizations are shaped by their leaders, and they're shaped by the human beings within them, and human beings are susceptible to these pitfalls.
Yeah, and so individually, these can actually be quite small occurrences. They kind of ironically don't tend to look like actual tragedies themselves. The point is that they, if you spot them early, hopefully you'll avoid an actual tragedy.
Sure. I mean, I think people don't know what they don't know about how really smart individuals get into trouble. And so if you learn about the tragedies and learn to be aware of them in yourself and how each one of them feels individually and how they interact, you have more tools for building other professional skills, for having the career that you want to have.
In terms of learning, you mentioned in the article that training alone, formal training, won't necessarily be as effective for changing attitudes as the informal curriculum, how we see the other people around us working.
Well, I think that it takes attention both to intentional professional development, where people teach practical professional skills that include how to have disputes and how to raise questions, and it includes attention to the informal environment and the informal curriculum. What happens when someone makes a mistake here? How do we treat them? Is it educational or is it shaming and blaming? So there's a whole series of things, and they interlock. There's not one magic bullet. It's being aware of and taking responsibility for our professional conduct and our professional environments.
What advice would you give to a young PhD student who did spot some ethically dubious behavior going on from above?
Well, I think there are two parts to it. And the most cited paper I ever wrote is called How to Blow the Whistle and Still Have a Career Afterwards. And the first six steps are all about how to assure that you're actually in a situation that requires that, because it's very easy at the bottom of the power curve when you are working so hard to get tunnel vision and not see the bigger picture. And then and only then do you follow the steps for actually blowing the whistle. And there are effective ways to do it. So there are things that work and things that don't work, and you have to know that. You don't know what you don't know when you start out, and that's what intentional professional development is about, and that's why learning about the tragedies is important.
How do you think research departments should be sort of assessing their own conduct health?
Well, I think there are two very time-effective ways to do it. One of them is the Survey of Organizational Research Climate, the SORCE, which can be done in under 15 minutes. We also have an informal, very quick self-assessment called the Academic Unit Diagnostic Tool, available on our website, that just gives you a place to start having conversations.
That was Tina Gonzalez talking with Jeff Marsh. You can read more about tragedies and how to avoid them in her co-authored comment over at nature.com/news, along with the rest of the special issue, filled with tips and advice for keeping lab culture healthy.